Hello and welcome to the B-Team podcast. My name is John Macy. Today I am joined by Brent Perry.
Hi. I don't know why Milos. I wave, but hi.
Yeah. Milos.
Hello, hello, hello.
And Josh Krubner.
Yeah.
Okay. And we are following up our recent review of the Wolverine trilogy with the next step in the road to Deadpool and Wolverine, Deadpool and Deadpool 2.
The Deadpool duology.
Yeah. Yep. Okay. So normally we would start with, you know, how did we find these? I guess we can still do that. But I did have something else I wanted to get into before we get into the movie heavily. I seem to recall the first one of these being driven by a test footage leak that happened, you know. So,
well, it even started before that, because it was when, who was it, Tom Rothman was the head of Fox at the time, yes. And he was so against anything superhero that he never ever let anything happen with Deadpool, and then the minute he was out the door, that test footage got leaked by either Ryan Reynolds, who I'm pretty sure it was, or Tim Miller, who it could possibly
probably
have
Ryan.
Been. Yeah, it was probably Ryan Reynolds by the sounds of things, but it could have been either one,
I mean,
right?
Yeah. Like,
and it was basically the entire freeway scene from the first film.
Some of the special effects weren't quite ironed into it, but it was basically that scene, yes.
Yep. And that basically pushed, you know, the fan reaction to that when he, or whoever, released it, kind of pushed Fox to actually make this movie. Mm-hmm. And that's where I segue into our first experiences with it, because I at least have a funny one, or at least a minorly funny one, but I'm curious how all of you guys found it. Brent?
Well, I mean, we were all nerds in the movie groups when it was fucking finally announced and the test footage leaked, so, like, we were actually all talking to each other then. Like, it's weird to do one of the more recent ones, right? But with me, like, I heard it was coming, and I was like, yeah, okay, maybe. And then once I started seeing the marketing for it, I was like, okay, this is all so unhinged and, like, disjointed. Like, there's no way this is all connecting to the movie, and somehow it did. So, yeah the marketing did a big part of it.
Milos.
Yeah. I mean, watching superhero movies at the time, no way I was going to miss Deadpool.
Josh, anything in particular with this one?
No, I took Haley to see it. She thought it was hysterical.
She would have been the target age group for a movie like that at the time, too, though.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Like, right around fucking 13-ish.
For me, I was, I have to admit, before the first one came out, I was much like Justin's opinion of this one that's coming, where, like, I started to hear about it, and I was just like, okay. But there, you know, and at the time, as a comic book reader, there was not this whole idea that it was like a super R-rated character. I mean, it was kind of like PG-13 at most.
With Deadpool in the comics, his whole thing was he knew he was a comic book character, so you get that fourth wall break, and like, that's kind of what people were expecting, was more of that. And then once you find out, like, no, he's just going to be cursing his fucking face off and there's going to be some blood and stuff, it's like, oh, well, that gives me extra incentive to watch.
I was very skeptical of it to begin with, just because, you know, no matter what Ryan Reynolds said, I know how intrusive Fox can be. Fox was in their movie.
Regardless of what Ryan Reynolds says, we have watched Wolverine Origins.
Yep. And I know Fox can be very intrusive. Well, they no longer exist in that form, but that at the time they could be very intrusive in their movies, and no matter what he said, I was like, yeah, but I don't trust that that's what Fox is actually going to let him do. So,
but again, this was after fucking Tom Rothman was out, so you had a board then that was actually a little more lenient, and seeing how the Marvel movies were fucking making bank at the time, they were like, well, might as well try.
Yeah, but we went, Corey and I went to see this on, I believe it came out Valentine's Day weekend in 16. And and here's the funny story. Like, she has a weird thing about, she's generally not bothered by, like, violence and profanity and stuff, but she has told me at times that she has a line, and it's kind of like the 1950s definition of pornography. Like, you'll know when you get there. Like, she couldn't tell me what it actually was, but she's like, I'll just know it when it reaches that point, and I'm sitting there going like, oh fuck, we're gonna go to this movie. It's around Valentine's Day. She's gonna hate it. I'm gonna pay for it for the next 10 years.
Yeah, Ryan Reynolds doghoused you.
Yep. And then when it wraps up, we were both dying laughing. So I was like, okay, I think I dodged that bullet. All yeah. Right. So,
crisis averted.
Yeah. Yep. So that brings us to Deadpool 1, directed by Tim Miller, and starring the aforementioned Ryan Reynolds, Marina Baccarin, TJ Miller, Ed Skrein, Gina Carano, and Brianna Hildebrand.
A mouthy asshole, a hot chick, a big metal dude, and the real heroes here.
That was great. The credits, yeah. I love the fact they did that with the credits. Like, I just thought that from the minute that starts, I was like, oh, we're in for something here. Okay.
And they actually gotten shit from the fucking the Hollywood Actors Guild for not putting the names up front. And they were like, fuck it, we'll take the fine. We want to do this. It's funny. We like it.
Yeah, and they did it in a sequel too. And I didn't know about that. That's the first I've heard that they took shit from the AMPTP or whatever the fuck.
The armpit, yeah.
Yeah. So I mean, and here's something I realized recently, and this is kind of a digression, but I figured I'd mention it before we got into the movie hardcore. So Ed Skrein, right? He's also
Ariana Harris.
He's also that bad guy in that Rebel Moon thing.
Yes, he is.
Which is the main reason why I couldn't take it seriously. Because every time he was on screen, my brain went, where the fuck is Francis?
Well, fair, but that's the least egregious part of that movie.
I know, plus that thing was terrible. But
oh, it's literally Zack Snyder's ADD on film, and it's like, oof, bud. Like,
yeah,
take your meds.
I watched it. I don't remember a single thing about it. I must have blocked it out.
I remember it being a lot of flashy action and like no character development, no real substance to the story. It was very Zack Snyder-y. Okay. Like newer, more nowadays Zack Snyder. Like,
right. So I'm gonna do the plot a little differently here because it does go at least half of it. Half of the first movie goes out of chronological order. I'm not gonna try to maintain that because I don't really remember specifically what the order was. But
I mean, the plot is basically he's just on the overpass the whole movie.
Yeah, like three quarters of the movie, and then he's explaining the backstory.
Yeah. So it basically opens with Deadpool hanging out on an overpass, waiting for somebody to show up there so we can kill them. And then, as you say, there's a bunch of flashback scenes to him pre-Deadpooling as Wade Wilson, and he meets Vanessa, played by Marina Baccarin. They hook up and end up dating, kind of, I guess you'd call it that. He has the determines the cancer diagnosis and stuff. And then, now, the one major deviation I found from the comics, right, is that he's actually a mutant here, where in the comics he isn't. In the comics he was a mercenary who was experimented on by Weapon X to try to give Wolverine's healing factor to someone artificially.
And that's what happens in the movie, so I don't know if he's technically a mutant or just a mutate like he would be in the comics. They never actually get into it. They don't say that he has an X gene. They just say that they put some shit in him to make the cancer go away.
Ed Skrein just keeps saying...
When Francis is experimenting on him, he'd mentioned that what they're basically doing is waking up his mutant genes.
Okay. It's like... Yeah, it's waking up the X gene. Okay, yeah, you're right. Yeah, he does say that.
If you have any, this is gone. Awaken. So technically,
yeah, you're right. He does say that. So
So he agrees to the process to, you know, do the mutant thing, and then he has the disfigurement after. And it's basically because the healing factor is fighting off the cancer constantly, and the cancer is so aggressive it just.
Yeah, it doesn't cure the cancer. It just makes the tumors pop out and, like, boils, basically.
Here's the other thing I thought was kind of funny, that they, other sort of slight change that they made to the character. I've always had the impression from comic book appearances. Not that they make a big deal out of this, because you don't get a lot of comics with him pre-Deadpool. But I had always had the impression that the him getting these powers also made him nuts. And that's where you get all the fourth wall breaking crap. But in this movie, he's just kind of always that same old a-hole.
Well, it should have been explained away that, like, he went insane because, like, that cancer constantly fucking coming out actually hurts him all the time. So he is, But yeah, that ties into a lot of Wolverine fucking stuff and the Weapon X. And yeah, it's not in the movie for time's sake, basically.
Yeah. And there's a lot of...
They just make him like that from the beginning. I think it's easier. Saves time.
Yep.
Time to explode.
Well, that's just it. Like, you're it's economics of time. Like, you're not wasting a bunch of exposition scenes. You're just like, okay, here it is. It's close enough. Let's run with it.
Yep. And I noticed there's a lot of meta stuff in a different way than the comics do it, where, like, he's aware he's in a movie now, and he's making outside reference to...
Well, like, literally the first thing he says in the movie is, like, I bet you're wondering how we got here. And yes, he does have a nice pair of Smooth Criminals down under. Right away, he's saying, like, this is only because of Hugh Jackman. And it's like, okay.
I bet you're wondering whose balls I had to play with to get a movie. It rhymes with Wolverine.
That's it, yeah. And he's got a nice set of Smooth Criminals down under.
Yep. So, yeah, so he's trying to kill this guy, or trying to get... He wants a cure for the disfigurement from this guy, Francis, who made him a mutant, basically. And Ajax. So they have this whole thing on an overpass where he tries to, you know, he's got a whole motorcade. He's basically like creating controllable mercenaries for government, for governments at the highest bidder level. So, like, he's basically creating mutant mercenaries to be
it's biological weapons. Yeah.
So, you know, there's a whole thing, like, he goes and kills a bunch of them in a shootout and a fight in a van, and then
he leaves his ammo behind, so he's only got so many bullets, so they're counting down as he's doing the kills, and there's some fun little stuff with that that you usually just don't get in a movie like that, like in a superhero movie.
Oh yeah, they're like
it's like counting the bullets down is a fourth wall break, so it's like, okay, that's little things like that. It's like, okay, you're keeping the tone right here so far. Like,
I also like the idea that I found out in reality that they ran out of money. They wanted that to be a bigger shootout than it actually was, but they ran out of money before they could do that. So they're like, oh, we're limited to him with a couple of guns and whatever. So, and it's actually, to me, it's actually a better scene than, like, if it had been the full out, you know, kind of thing. But, you know, without having a comparison of what it would have looked like if it had been that, then it's hard to
say. Yeah, because the big major fight at the end too, he ends up leaving the ammo bag, so he's only got so many bullets. And like, like they wrote it in cleverly though. Like they had a limitation and they were like, okay, let's actually write around it instead of just whatever the fuck they do nowadays.
Right. And you're right. This movie is fourth wall-y enough that you can write around it. You don't have to write around it that much. You can even just call it out. You know, and I love that was the scene where I'm realizing exactly how profane and whatever else this was going to be, which I'm not bothered by at all. I mean, you've heard me on an average show. Why would I care? But I love the bit where he's counting the bullets off and he's trying to shoot the guy on the bike. And he misses a couple. Yeah. And he's like, fuck. Yeah. Shit, fuck.
Oh, 7-6. Shouldn't have done that. Worth it.
Wasted a bullet. Worth it. And so, you know, there's the whole thing, and there's a lot of the flashback stuff, and they introduced T.J. Miller as Weasel, who I could take or leave T.J. Miller. I
mean, he was fine in this for what he was. Like, yes. I had no problem with him. Like,
some of the stuff is funny. I just think it's his, for me personally, I think it's his delivery just doesn't seem to care.
Well, that's the whole thing with Weasel, though. Like, that's actually fairly accurate to the comic.
Yeah, I guess I'd have to go back and read some older Deadpool stuff again.
And, like, it's the interactions between them, too, right? Like, they play well off each other. Like, Ryan Reynolds' fucking erratic style works really well with T.J. Miller's, like, burnout really fucking style, so.
You look like an avocado went and had sex with an uglier avocado. Yep, so he's, like, he doesn't actually do anything in the story. He runs like the bar that all the mercenaries hang out at and get their jobs from.
Whatever. Yeah, well, he's basically the hitman bookie. Like,
yep. He didn't show up in the Hitman's Bodyguard movies. I was kind of bummed that that would have been a.
He didn't show up in too much after this because he said some things.
Yeah.
He
made a bomb threat on a plane or something.
He said a couple of things. He went off about his Jewish bosses, which didn't do him any favors. And then he did something stupid on a plane. I don't know whether it was a bomb threat or he was just drunk and yelling at somebody. The story's always been kind of conflicted there. But, like, yeah, he made 3 or 4 pretty major fuck-ups, and it was really easy for studios to be like, yeah, we're not going to touch him.
Mm. Yeah. So, there's a couple flashbacks with that. You see him meet the girl. Who I thought she was actually pretty funny. Like, I was prepared for that to just be like the typical damsel in distress role, but she gives it right back to him when it comes to the jokes.
Say your story, fat
Moreno.
Ho ho ho! Hakuna is batatas.
Yeah, she was really good in these.
In this, she wasn't really in the second one much.
Oh yeah, she's not in the second.
Oh one. Yeah.
Like 32 seconds, I think.
Something like that. And at least they found a way to bring her back for this new one.
Yeah, but is that going to be another 32 second?
Yeah, I don't know. Depends on how it works, I guess. But yeah, I thought it was interesting that they had somebody, and obviously it's important to something like this, to have somebody that can kind of keep up with Ryan Reynolds with the jokes. Mm-hmm. Just because, like, I don't think this movie would have worked half as well, considering that it's sold as a love story too, given that they know what time of year this is coming out in, and they know, you know, there's probably going to be a lot of dudes bringing their girlfriends to this. I mean,
and like their whole first interaction where they're talking about who had the worst life, like, I grew up in a fucking dishwasher box. Oh, you had a dishwasher? Like,
oh, you had a dishwasher.
That stuff was really good back in,
yeah,
like the back and forth with them was really, yeah.
My uncle put cigarettes out on me, and he was just like, where else would you put them out?
Yeah.
So it's kind of like a weird fucked up meet cute thing, and it's, you know, it's just as, to me, it's just as important to the movie as the action stuff is, at least for what the weight they give it. And then after he has the procedure, like, he's all ugly, so he's like, oh, she won't want anything to do with me anymore because I look like an ass, you know. So, like, I kind of thought that was. I can see why he would think that given his thought processes, but I also thought that was sort of like, it comes off as like, well, he's just being a dope because
literally dramatic tension for the movie because they didn't have money to make a big action scene or have a big villain for the movie, so that they went by on character interactions. And I mean,
I guess they had a good cast
to do it.
Yeah, I guess I just didn't see like why he would think that she would feel that way.
It just plot reasons, basically, because it was written that way. Like, that's literally, they didn't have the money to have any major villain, like Ajax, sure, but they didn't have the money to do any big fight scenes or any of that. Yeah. So they were like, okay, well, let's push it along with character interactions. And that's, again, a lot of the time is just him talking to somebody, whether it's Weasel or Colossus or fucking Marina Baccarin or who's the other one?
The
Diana Hilda something.
Yes.
Yeah,
I killed
their brand.
Oh, she's also great, by the way. Liz,
oh, yeah.
Fucking dope Ender.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, and the cab driver.
Yeah, his little taxi buddy. Like, again, like, there's not a lot to the movie. The plot is pretty basic, but, like, it's the character interactions and the actors that were working with each other that actually kind of pushed the story through, and it's like, all right, like, they worked within their limitations and made a decent movie. Yeah, like, no complaints about it, like, the fact that it made as much as it did off of what it was made for, it's like, well, okay, they're going to have to cut corners somewhere. And I'm glad to see that they did it in the special effects stuff and kept the actual, like, characters moving the thing along. Like,
yeah, this is one that, you know, other than, you know, Colossus being an entirely CGI character, effects and stuff really weren't all that important to this one.
No, and I mean, there's still some action scenes, like when he's doing the fucking, like, climbing the ladder to find Francis, like, you get some fun action moments there, but it's nothing, like, crazy over the top, like, most Marvel movies at the time, like, most superhero movies at the time, really.
Yeah. So he's kind of floating around the peripheral at that point. He's trying to figure out whether he can, whether he has the guts to approach the girl again or not. And then
what's going on?
The Ajax guy kidnapped is a dick, and he's trying to get. He just wanted revenge on him at that point, right? He wasn't trying to get him to do anything. I think he just wanted to kill him, basically.
He's trying to, based on the things Francis did say, is he can fix his face. So basically, Deadpool's trying to get him, find him, so he can fix him.
Okay.
So he can go back.
Alrighty.
Back to.
Well, that's good. I know that, but why does Ajax kidnap her?
Yeah.
Just to get with him.
Okay.
Yeah, just to get at him. Because they do show up at the assassins, whatever. Bar.
They get her at the strip club.
Oh yeah, they pick her up at the strip bar. Yeah.
Yeah, they pick her up at the. But they find a picture at the bar where Weasel works. They find a picture.
Oh, that's right.
We're in the. Okay. That's what we got.
Okay, so before this, you have the whole thing where Colossus shows up to like, because it makes the news that he's on a bridge killing people, and So he decides to take the jet and one of the like New Mutants type X-Men and go like round him up or whatever. And I actually really enjoyed this too, because they've never really done Colossus well in any of these movies yet. So, and I mean, it's,
I agree.
And it's obviously, I
will say this, for all the comedy and humor this movie does, the fact that Colossus is trying to that
next
man is just hilarious.
I mean, was he doing that, or did he just want to try to straighten him out?
No, he wanted to enjoy X-Men.
Okay, yeah. I think my favorite joke involving that was at one point they start fighting and Wade punches him in the dick, and you just get the clang of it, and suddenly he goes, "Dad." I just, for some reason, I thought that was hilarious. I don't know, just me. But, so there's a whole lot of stuff there where, like, Colossus is trying to convince him not to be a killer and just be, like, a superhero type, and he's just like, you know what, I don't have time or interest in any of this. And we just had Brent drop out, so hopefully that'll resolve itself. There's a lot of meta stuff there. He mentions, like, Colossus mentions taking him to see Xavier, and he goes, "Which one? McAvoy or Stirrup? These timelines are weird." Just a lot of stuff like that. I mean, I would think this plays well to anybody that's not a huge comic person, because obviously, Milos, you like this, and Justin reads a fair bit, and I know he liked these too. But I would think they make kind of the meta jokes broad enough that, like, somebody who's only seen the other X-Men movies or whatever, or was familiar with other comic book movies, would still get them. They weren't like so.
They don't make them comic themed. They made them. You can basically get all the references. It's great.
Yeah, they're not. They're not like
people back in 2016. Most people who went and saw Deadpool saw all the other superhero stuff, all the X-Men movies, probably. So like you get. Reference, you know.
Yeah, they're not like reliant.
You don't need comic book knowledge to get them. So nothing goes over your head, basically.
Yep. No, that's it. You're exactly right. So then Deadpool escapes the overpass by cutting. Colossus has him handcuffed and he cuts his own hand off to get away from him. And had a little drop out there, did we?
Yeah, my internet's all fucking sketchy. Oh.
Okay. So then he goes back to his apartment where he's living with Blind Al, played by Leslie Uggams, who is just kind of his, like, not really a sidekick. She's just there to, like, rag on him, mostly.
Yeah. I mean, she's basically his black blind Master Splinter.
Yeah. In the comics, I think she was white. But they.
She was, yeah.
But Leslie Uggams is a good move, because she's really funny.
Oh, yeah.
They work well together, too, her and Reynolds.
I love the when he first goes in there, she's building IKEA furniture.
He started arguing over. Should have got the Hadoop.
Them throwing all the different piece names around was hilarious.
Because I wouldn't get the Kunin. And the Kunin is garbage, and he's saying it as like Norsey as he can. It's fucking it's fun.
Of course I want the Herdal. We just don't have the money. You know, and then he has the little baby hand at one point because it's growing back. And I don't know. Just some of the jokes are just, I don't know. Maybe it helps when I watch these, like I go into like 12-year-old brain. But, you know, it's quite entertaining in terms
everything's
of that.
Fine.
Yeah.
Well, but like, it's not, there's a lot of stupid childish humor, but there's a lot of kind of like, that's a thinker of a joke, like in there too. Like it's, they did a really decent mix of like trying to hit every like humor form.
Yeah. Yeah. I definitely agree with that. So then, Ajax also has a henchman played by Gina Carano.
Less angry Rosie O'Donnell.
Yeah. Yeah. Who actually looks pretty impressive in whatever the role's supposed to be, but.
Well, Gina Carano, like, she's a lot like Dave Bautista, right? You're not going to get a great acting performance out of them, but they can stand there and look intimidating. So as long as you only give them a couple of lines and have them say the right thing at the right time, you can get a serviceable performance out of them.
Yeah. So she's. And the, I like the fight toward the end she has with Colossus, where like he gets like freaked out because like he's playing Colossus, and he's like prudish kind of, and like at one point he stops because like her boobs hanging out or something, and he doesn't know what to do with himself, and then she like kicks him in the nuts.
Your boob is out. You're beautiful. And he goes, oh, that's so sweet, and she just sucker punches him. Yeah, it's like fun moment.
So then Ajax kidnaps Vanessa and Deadpool recruits Colossus and the teenage girl that has like the cannonball type powers, which I guess
Negasonic teenage warhead.
I would doubt that. Well, no, they did cannonball in the New Mutants movie, didn't they?
Yes, but nobody watched that.
I did too. But never watched that movie. I was gonna, but I never got around to it.
I wouldn't.
It's quite bad.
Quite awful. So she has like cannonball type powers, basically. And they play up the, you know, she's the typical teenage girl who like just looks at him like he's a useless old guy.
Yeah, angsty fucking emo teenager, basically.
And with her haircut, he regularly refers to her as like Sinead O'Connor and all those kind of things.
And every time he makes a reference, she's just like, fuck, you're old. Like, make one from this decade. Like, they're fun together, too. Like, just, let me guess, snarky remark followed by some kind of pouting and then another snarky remark. And she's, you kind of put me in a box here. I don't know what to say.
Followed by pouty silence. Followed by another shitty remark, followed by more pouty silence. Actually, my favorite jokes were during that montage where he's going to all the different places to try to find Ajax. The guy on the Zamboni, where he's going to kill the guy with the Zamboni.
In like 10 minutes.
In 5 minutes.
I like when he's the two Chinese girls. He's like, oh god, I hit a girl. Like, is it sexist if I hit you or is it sexist if I don't? And then just shoots the two of them.
Yeah, that was the other one for me as well. Is it sexist to hit you or is it sexist to not hit you? I'm so confused.
Have you seen this man?
Yeah, what was that one? I didn't really get that.
He just holds up a drawn picture with Francis on it. He's like, have you seen this man? And they try to shoot him and he does some Deadpool stuff.
I thought it was like the Terminator 2 thing. Like, have you seen this boy?
I mean, partly, but yeah.
If there's
a chance it was a pop culture reference, it was probably a pop culture reference, right? Yeah. Like,
so then there's a whole. Then he recruits them for help to go help him get the girl back, and there's a whole big shootout fight scene, and like Ajax has a little compound there. which actually, if you believe what Tim Miller says, was meant to be a SHIELD helicarrier.
It is. You can see the SHIELD logo in the middle of it split second scene.
Yeah, like a decommissioned SHIELD helicarrier.
Yeah, like, but I think once the final battle goes down and the ship starts to tip, there's one shot where you can kind of see it when Marina Baccarin's coffin is floating down beside it. And it's like, oh, that is a SHIELD.
Yeah. Yep. I just blanked out for a second. Yeah, and some of the fights there were pretty cool. I mean, you know, choreography is pretty simple, but they were entertaining. I was not bothered by any of that stuff. I'm usually a mark for good fight choreography, and I at no point during any of that stuff was I like, eh, you know, it's at least watchable. So,
nothing is over the top, but at the same time, I think it's too CGI. Just because, you're doing this on a low budget, so you actually have the fights.
Right, right. I also kind of wonder if, too, like, it was a knowing choice that a lot of the dialogue was going to be over the top for a lot of people, so, like, then do you make the other stuff a little more reserved just because, like, you want people to be focusing on the jokes? I don't know. There is also a... And this is more of a comic thing, but there is also a reference to Bob, Agent of Hydra, in there. Am I the only one who actually reads the Deadpool comics at this point?
I actually read this comic book, one of the runs back in 2000s. And I am familiar with Bob, the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
He has a buddy named Bob who works as a low-level Hydra guy that just keeps popping up in the comics every once in a while. And I got a kick out. I think I was, when we saw it in the theaters, I think I was literally the only one laughing when he's fighting all those dudes. And there's the one guy who's still conscious. And he's like, Bob?
Yeah.
And I just immediately knew that's what it was. And I turned to Corey and was like, and I just went, it's Bob. And she's like, okay. He's just a guy. Like, why do I care? You know? And I also like the fact that this movie calls out the superhero landing. I believe Gina Carano does the first one where she like does the standard thing where like you jump off a building or something and you land in like the perfect badass pose and whatever. And he's like, superhero landing, she's gonna do it. It's rough on your knees, but she's gonna do it anyway. and then, you know, he saves the girl and gets her back and stuff, and you just kind of realize he was being a turd and he just could have just done it anyway and didn't necessarily need to be, you know, go back to looking like Ryan Reynolds to get her attention and stuff. But, you know, so fairly solid date movie in 2016. Most people were happy. This made a shitload of money. Let's see. I have the numbers in front of me. I just need to find where my stupid mouse pointer is. 58 million dollar budget, $782.8 million. Yeah, so understandable why they would do another one of these. I also like the fact that they did like a post credits thing, making fun of the Ferris Bueller bit at the end of Ferris Bueller, where Matthew Broderick walks out and he's like, "Go home, mm-hmm. over." Where he does that, but then he's also like, we're going to do a sequel to this, and we're going to have Cable, and it's going to be awesome. And I was just like, okay, I could see them doing that, given that, you know, there was at the time a Deadpool and Cable comic that went on for 3 years, where they sort of like reluctantly have to work with each other. Or at least Cable doesn't really want to work with him because he thinks he's a tool. But you know, at the time, I remember thinking, okay, that if they come up with a decent idea for that, sure. But I also kind of worried that, like, they committed to that and then say they were in the writing process and found that they didn't find anything that worked for Cable and decided not to do it, then fans would be like, what the fuck?
But I mean, you could have Cable pop in almost any story. Like, yeah. He was the most likely one to pair with Deadpool, and I'm... That's a character they didn't use in the Fox X-Men movie, so it's, yeah.
We were just starting to get into that, so you didn't really miss any. We were just starting to get into Deadpool 2, so you didn't miss much. Yeah.
I figured that when you were talking about Cable.
Yeah. So that brings us to Deadpool 2 from 2018. This one was directed by David Leitch, who was one of the co-directors of John Wick 1. And I believe he was a producer on the other three, which were all directed by that guy Stahelski. Josh, you've been like dead silent this entire time. Do you have anything you want to bring up?
I mean, the first one's funny. I'm not the biggest fan. I love the second one.
Okay, so you were waiting. All right.
Yeah.
I should say, too, Justin was not able to do this one tonight, but he actually rates both of these movies fairly highly. He keeps, like, best movies of the decade list, which I don't do. I don't know if any of the rest of you guys do this. But he has Deadpool 1 as his, I believe he said, 26th favorite movie of the 2010s.
Jesus, with, that's actually pretty high for Justin, yeah.
Yeah, with Deadpool 2 at 31.
That is definitely a 7 out of 7.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had the first one fairly high in 2016. I'd have to go back and look at my list for 2016. But
well, my girlfriend, when we started dating, asked me one time, like, what's your top 5 movies? And I was like, well, I can't do 5, but I'll give you 15. And it was on that list. So
Yeah, it would probably, if I did a decade list, I'm pretty sure it would be somewhere in the 15 or first 15 or 20 for that decade. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, okay. So Deadpool 2, directed by David Leitch.
This one feels more like a movie. Like the first one felt like a series of like conversations and just fun moments. This one actually has like a through line story the whole way. And it's like, oh, okay. Like,
yeah.
I mean, with an improved budget, basically an X-Force movie, and the first one was just like a commentary on superhero movies.
Yep, this one had more money too.
Well, that's obviously. Yeah.
I will say,
I think almost the double.
Yep, in a general sense, like I still like this one. Like, and there's still a lot to like with this one, but I feel like this is the one that Fox went to them and said, oh, hey, we left you alone to make the first one because we didn't think it was going to do anything.
Wow, and then, yeah.
And then the first one makes a shitload of money, and their approach suddenly becomes, oh, we have to dick with this now.
Yeah, what was the totals on that one? It was made for, what, 76, and it made something like 760? Like, it made almost 10 times its money.
It made 458 and made 782.
Okay, so yeah, like 10 times the money or more. So like,
yeah.
Once you have that, you know the studio is going to be like, so we have some thoughts. Like,
well, I mean, the third one is going to make like a shit ton of money unless it leaks and it's not what people are expecting. But otherwise, like, I think it's the next No Way Home. It's just built in.
I have some concerns from what I've heard from like bits and pieces of Ryan Reynolds' comments over the last couple of weeks, and it's like, uh-oh.
Oh, yeah, no, I have genuine concerns at this point. I don't think we're going to theaters for it, but, you know, we'll see.
Oh, we I'll give you that.
I'm still seeing it in theaters, but I'm a lot less optimistic about it than I was for the first two.
So I mean, I'm watching it the second it drops.
I mean,
well, like
Disney,
I said,
Disney is doing it. It's,
from the time Disney announced it, I've been saying, like, a Disney R is not going to be an actual R. Like, it's going to be a small R, not a capital R, right? Yep. There's probably going to be 2 or 3 scenes where they say fuck, maybe a shot of somebody's ass, things that are really easy to cut out of the movie so they can send it overseas as a PG movie.
Yep.
Like,
I agree with you on that. I don't agree with Justin's psycho thing that Hugh Jackman's not even in it and they're just trolling everybody.
No, he's in it, but for how long could be a question.
I mean, that's the first I've heard of that. That would be hilarious, but no, he's definitely in it.
Yeah, he actually said that on our Wolverine show last week that I think you dropped out by then.
Yeah.
He doesn't actually believe Jackman's in that movie at all, and they're just doing it as a press thing to try to screw with people.
Like I said, I think you're going to get like half the movie with Wolverine, but you're only going to get like a quarter of that where Wolverine is actually Hugh Jackman.
Mm. Well, don't forget, Jackman is technically in the second one to the point that they absolutely had to pay him for those archive footage appearances.
That's true.
That's so, true. Yeah.
You know, yeah. If he shows up at all, there's definitely some kind of contract there.
Yep. Yep.
Well, so, my main question with three is, who does the Cavill play? Is it going to be a Deadpool? Is it going to be a Wolverine variant, or is it going to be a Cyclops variant?
Cavill's not in.
Rumors are.
And there's actually rumors that Cavill's in.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. And well, there's a rumor
that what's his name? Taron. Taron Egerton. Wolverine variant.
Oh, can he be MCU Wolverine? Please, God. That would be awesome.
Well, honestly, this is something that I talked with a friend of mine. And
what exactly gives you any reason to think the MCU version of Wolverine would be awesome?
I would like.
Or would look like Henry Cavill. Like, he's tall and not Canadian.
If Henry Cavill's not Captain Britain, I riot.
We'll see. There's a few characters that I wouldn't mind him playing. Like, he'd be a lot better Wonder Man than the one that they've cast.
Yep.
Oh, right? The Black Manta
guy. But he's not managing full time MCU stuff.
It wouldn't surprise me if he ends up in a role. If people like it, they bring him back for something bigger later. But yeah, it's probably just a cameo. So it sounds like this Warhammer movie
full time. He doesn't have time.
But basically, this movie sounds like Deadpool 3, the cameo. Like, everybody from every version of everything is going to be thrown in it, and it's like, well, that sounds like it's a recipe for disaster already.
Well, that was like the original plan. Now, like, they've scaled it back, and it's going to be like, you know, Loki light.
Great.
The TVA stuff, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, ugh. But yeah, I like the second one.
We'll see.
Fat Kid was funny.
Oh, I like it too. Yeah, it's just, it's...
We it's totally way, skipped the second movie. Like,
yeah, like you said, it's way more of a movie. It's way more of a movie than the third one.
Julius.
Yeah, they didn't bring TJ Miller back because of issues. That was one of the only complaints I had.
He is in the second one, though.
No, I don't think he is.
Yeah, but he's not in the third one.
There's dialogue with Cable and stuff.
You're right. Okay, so it was after the second one that he got in all the trouble.
Isn't it less?
After the second one, he really went off.
Yeah.
Yeah,
after the second one was when all that weird stuff happened, because it was I think he got fired from Silicon Valley around that same time.
Yep.
And
like I said, he did two or three things where it was like any one of them he could have survived, but all three right together, it was like, okay, everyone got rid of him at the same time, and and then he started yelling at Ed, like, this guy's in it.
Yeah, and I think they actually cut off scenes with him. They kept him in the stuff they had to keep him in for the sake of movie flow, if you want to call it that. But they cut him out of some stuff. Like, he had some extra scene they cut off. Because they couldn't cut him off completely. Just that would wreck the movie.
Yeah,
I remember him and Ryan Reynolds having a Twitter beef around that time, too. Like, because Reynolds said that he'd never work with him again. And Miller was all, he was in a state at the time. So, yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, there was a lot to like in the second one. Like, it was a better movie. The cast... The X-Force fucking cameos were fun.
Yep.
The Huggy Bear was the real hero of the movie.
Yeah. So basically, it's probably supposed to be a couple years later, and there's a whole montage at the beginning of, like, Deadpool going around on a bunch of mercenary jobs, just offing criminals and shit, where... You know, I like the thing in the Japanese bathhouse, because you could see how much better with a director like David Leitch, given what the other stuff he's done. I saw a noticeable uptick in the fight choreography this time around. Not that I thought it was bad the first time around, but just what they're able to
yeah, this was a full fight scene instead of just like a slow-mo, like 30-second actual thing that happened. Yeah. Because like when you, that first bridge scene, like when you actually speed that up to real time, it's like 15 seconds between like when he drops in the car and flips, they're all dead, and then Buddy splats on the thing. Like,
yeah, this had some actual drawn out, like actual fight scenes in it because, you know, you had a director obviously that's more comfortable doing that stuff than maybe Tim Miller was, or the budgetary.
Well, Tim Miller didn't do anything besides like commercials and video games before he got Deadpool, wasn't
it? Yeah.
He wasn't really a known director for anything, so.
Then he went on to do Terminator Dark Piece of Shit.
So, well.
Hey. Good for him.
Yeah, but I don't think that was all his fault either. But no, yeah, that was basically, I haven't seen him, his name attached to anything since, so at least he had Deadpool.
Yep. So yeah, there's a bunch of mercenary stuff at the beginning. Then he goes back to the girlfriend, and they hypothesize about the possibility of having kids. And then, he pisses off like a street gang or something in one of the montage parts, and they come busting into his apartment, and there's a short fight there, and the girl gets shot, like collateral damage sort of, and dies. Then he's miserable.
The girl, Marina Baccarin, yeah.
Yep. She gets shot and dies, and then it actually, and this is another one of those things where some of it occurs out of chronological order, and at the very beginning you see him like loading their apartment with like drums of gasoline and like turning the stove on because he wants to kill himself, and we don't know exactly why that is at that point. And then there's some voiceover about how, oh, you know, well, I gotta top the last Wolverine movie, and this was a year after Logan came out. And he's like, well, he got to die, so I'm also gonna do that, and yeah, that'll be awesome. And then I did like how we talked about the credits with the text in the last one. And I liked how this one, half of it was like, because it was right after Vanessa dies, and half of the things in the credits were like, wait, did they really just do that?
Well, it's the James Bond opening, too.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, they're trying to rip on the James Bond opens, too, yeah.
Very much, yeah.
Yep. So, yeah, he's trying to kill himself, and then Cable also shows up, he's a guy from the future who's like, he's trying to prevent a specific mutant from doing something that is bad for his time frame.
Yeah, fucking Iron Fist.
They basically turn Cable into Bishop from the animated series.
Yeah,
and understandably, I guess, because it would be too hard to do this otherwise, but like, they dropped all the...
Well, if you have to try and explain the Summers family tree to the normies, they're going to get nosebleeds in the theater. So it's just easier to be like, yeah, just treat him like Bishop.
Yeah.
He's not Cyclops' kid, or at least they don't say he is. And actually, Brent, it just occurred to me as you said that, if you were basically going to make him Bishop, why didn't they just use Bishop?
They had Bishop.
Cable and Deadpool was a comic.
Cable and Deadpool.
Yeah, because Cable and Deadpool was a comic. That's literally the only reason.
Yep. And I mean, not to say that, and oh yeah, he was also played by Josh Brolin, which I should mention.
Who has been saying that he won't be back as Cable because Ryan Reynolds doesn't like him, and it's like, huh, I wonder what the story behind that is.
I think he's in the trailer.
I kind of wonder if some of that's a con. Like,
could be.
He is in it, they just don't want people to know he's in it.
Well, I mean, it could be, but like, he has been saying like that, I've seen a couple interviews with him where he's like, yeah, I don't know, Ryan Reynolds doesn't really like me much, and it's like, okay, well. Weird.
No, but I think they're staged. Like, there's no way. I mean,
it'd make more sense if it was staged. But
go back to Andrew Garfield. He's like, oh, I'm definitely not in Spider-Man 3. I'm definitely not in Spider-Man 3. And lo and behold. So yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I guess
it's gonna be the same thing.
I guess my whole thing with that, like, if he doesn't show up in Deadpool and Wolverine, I won't be shocked. But then if he does, I'll be like, oh, okay, cool. You know, so yeah, he's there.
Now again, the thing with 3 is you have no idea who's showing up, who's not showing up, or what it's about. So at this,
well, that's just it. Yeah. It sounds like there's going to be like, so many in it. It's like
people going, and you have no idea what actual story is.
Not yet.
Everybody.
Yeah. I wonder if they're even gonna bother releasing another trailer for it, considering that it's what, 4 months away? I mean, how much do you really want to give out before July?
I mean, if they were smart, their next trailer wouldn't have any words, any fucking, it'd just be clips of like faces of people that have been in the other two movies. Or like other Marvel stuff or other like just like tease like who's could be in it, who won't be in it, you know what I mean? Like just a total fuckerhead.
Like I'm picturing like I think there was an old like Avengers comic during Infinity Gauntlet or something where it just showed like a bunch of people's heads on screens or whatever. Mm-hmm. And you do like some equivalent of that where you just flash a bunch of people and are like, some of these people might be in this movie or something, or you know.
Oh yeah, it was the stupid splash page where they show you everybody who got dusted.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
You know who did it best? Is when the first trailer for Expendables dropped was just names of actors and explosions. That's it. You didn't get anything else. Oh,
yeah. That's true.
That's the only thing you needed to go see the movie.
I think what they should do as a joke, and it'll piss off all the right people, they should play the exact clip they played to promote the Marvels, where you got like Thanos and Tony and Cap flashbacks. And then it just says Deadpool 3 at the end of it.
That would be great. There'd be so many meltdowns.
Oh, people would go nuts. Yeah. And if they don't show up, then people will go crazy.
But it's Disney, and you know they're just going to fucking do what Disney does and overhype everything, show everything in the trailer. And by the time you see the movie, nothing's going to be fresh.
Yep. So Wade's depressed because Vanessa's dead. And so he eventually goes to the X-Mansion, and Colossus basically wants to be an X-Man now because he's bummed out. He just kind of wants something to do, and he wants to like hang out with his buddy. The thing I thought was funny, I didn't really think to bring this up when we were talking about the first movie as much, is like he has this movie is very much like it's trying. The Deadpool movies in general, like, they're trying to set up the character, obviously, for those who don't recognize it. But he's also, like, he has a pre-existing place in that universe already. Like, he's friends with Colossus to a degree already. Like, the first meeting wasn't, like, a thing they showed. It's just, like, they're kind of friends already, or, like, at least Wade wants to be his friend. But then Ben Colossus is like, yeah, but you're really annoying, and I just, you know, I want to help you because I'm that kind of guy, but I'm not like, are we going to be buddy-buddy? No, not really. But in the second movie, I think that's supposed to be more developed than it is in the first, and he just is finally like, okay, I'm ready to be an X-Man. Can we at least, like, try it, I guess? And they throw him in a trainee thing, and they go to in the Negasonic Teenage Warhead is back again, and she has a girlfriend now, that Yukio person, who I think is based on that character Surge from New X-Men, but I'm not 100% certain.
No, I'm pretty sure it's just Yukio from the Wolverine.
Right, but I think they took that name and then they gave her powers that were closer to a particular character from one of the...
Okay, fair enough. They changed Negasonic Warhead's whole character from the first movie, so yeah.
That power set matches somebody from the New X-Men that was around the time that Morrison was writing it. So they go to this, like, orphanage, like, religious orphanage that, you know, was actually... I got this... Was the... Russell Kidd the only mutant there? Or were they collecting mutants? And
no, they were collecting
mutants.
Yeah.
Okay.
All the kids were mutants in there.
I think it was called the Essex Home or something, wasn't it? Yeah. Like, there was a Mr. Sinister nod there.
That perked my ears up as a comic reader. Like, that's the second time that, and actually, I think the second reference is later, because that's at least the second time that Nathaniel Essex was referenced in these movies. I believe there's one in Apocalypse at the end. So there's this orphanage that, you know, is like torturing mutants and stuff, and this kid, Russell Collins, did they give him that last name?
Yep.
Okay. Played by Julian Dennison, has, like, pyrokinetic powers. He's kind of a little pudgeball. Kid's funny. I mean, he was in a couple of Taika Waititi's movies early, Hunt for the Wilder People, and Jojo Rabbit. He wasn't the star of Jojo Rabbit, but he was in there.
But he was there, yeah.
Yeah. So he's, you know, he has like pyro powers, and he basically tries. What was the initial thing? Like, he lights the school on fire.
There's a standoff. He's walling the fucking whatever the school, the fucking homes, fucking guards away from him, and the X-Men come to try and calm him down. The cops are there trying about to shoot him, and it's when the X-Men show up, it's already a standoff, so yeah. It doesn't really matter what happened. They did something to him. He's fucking stood up for himself, and then it ended up a big standoff, and the X-Men came in to intervene.
Then right. We find out that, you know, he's the one that Cable's after, so Cable busts into the prison that him and Deadpool are in to try to take them both out, and Deadpool just gets caught in the crossfire.
Right. This character...
You Josh, killed Black Tom, you racist!
Yeah.
Josh,
best line of the movie.
Backstop me if I'm wrong here, but this character, I think, is supposed to be based on Rusty Collins from X-Factor in the early 80s?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was okay. New Mutants for a fucking hot second, too, when that started. It was, yeah.
Right. And
He was X-Terminators.
Yes. Yeah, he Junior Woodchucks.
He was in New Mutants toward the end of that, actually. I think.
Well, yeah, the X-Terminators were in it for like all of 5 minutes, and then New Mutants becomes X-Force,
and then Richter joins the team full time, and the other ones kind of just fuck off away.
Yeah. Yep.
So you're right. They end up in that prison, and Cable shows up to the prison to try to. He wants to kill the kid because the kid's eventually going to grow up to be a guy. Firebrand.
It's Firefist.
Firefist, yes.
Was it just that he killed Cable's wife and kid, or did he do like a lot of damage?
No, he pretty much like nuked a couple of cities. So like, he changes the
He did a lot of damage.
Right.
Yeah. He's basically the Trevor Fitzroy that Bishop comes back in time to chase. Like, it's.
Fitzroy, right? Yeah, nice pull. You're right; it does compare to that.
Yeah, like a lot.
It's
like,
exactly Bishop's story.
It is, yeah. Like it works. I mean, they're both time travelers. You can kind of play it off back and forth. It's easier than explaining the Summers family tree. So, like, it definitely is a Bishop story.
Yeah. Yep. So you know, they get out of the. He gets out of the prison, and. He leaves the kid there, doesn't he? He's just like, I'm going to go do what I need to do.
Yeah, he's saying that, like, he doesn't want to be anyone's friend, and then he has a change of heart, and then, you know, he has to...
And then Cable shows up, him and Cable go out a wall, and they end up getting out of the prison, and the kid thinks he left him, so he ends up being buddies with Juggernaut instead.
Yeah, the kid allies with Juggernaut. They have a song.
Yep. So then, Wade decides to recruit a team to go after Cable, which leads to all the X-Force stuff with Zazie Beetz as Domino, which I could take or leave. I mean, she was fine.
She was okay, but the hairy armpits kind of bugged me.
I know there, you know, the whole thing in the comics was that she and Cable had a pre-existing relationship and all that, too, that we hadn't seen. You know,
well, so like Domino and Deadpool have had a long connection, too, because...
Yeah.
When Deadpool first showed up, he was dating who he thought was Domino. Or no, he wanted to kill Domino because it wasn't actually Domino. It was Copycat, who was Vanessa. Comics are weird.
I guess her performance just didn't... I mean, she had some moments, but it just didn't really do that much for me. You know, but
I liked some of the back and forth when, like, it's not a power. Yeah, it is. Like, yeah, okay, fine.
Yeah, that stuff was funny. Where, like, he was trying to understand how her powers work because she, like... affects probabilities and things just sort of work out her way a lot of the time.
Well, she's got luck powers. It's the same as Black Cat.
Yeah. Ooh. And that stuff was funny. And then there the X-Force recruitment stuff was pretty solid. too. Mm-hmm. I like the guy who's just kind of there. Was it
Huggy Peter? Bear?
Yeah, he had no powers or anything. He was just kind of there. Just a guy.
Mm-hmm. I just saw your flyer and I thought it sounded like a real rat rootin' tootin' time.
Saw the ad.
Yep. Yeah. No. That.
You have any powers? Yeah. Type 1 and type 2 diabetes.
And a neat mustache.
Yep, and there were some at least one or two characters that have actually had X-Force ties before.
No, they all did.
Did they all, really?
Yep.
Okay.
Well, I mean, except for Peter, but yeah.
Well, yeah. But like even like the vomit guy, I can't remember who it was now, he was in, I think it was called Ecstatic, which was the reboot of X-Force.
Oh, that's the part of it I'm forgetting. I've never read that.
Okay. And that's actually where I'm pretty sure Negasonic actually comes from, is Ecstatic, yeah.
I just immediately recognized Shatterstar and the Vanisher, because they've been in,
Terry Crews as Bedlam. His Jesse Bedlam was actually an X-Force member for a while.
Oh, yeah, okay. Huh. Yep. So yeah, some of the stuff during the recruitment scene was pretty funny. I also like
The Vanisher was part of the like Black Ops X Force they did after they canceled Ecstatic too.
That was
the Black and Silver.
He was in the Uncanny X Force with
yes.
Wolverine and Warren and Psylocke. And Deadpool. Yeah. So I love the fact that the Vanisher was Brad Pitt. And you only ever see him for like a second and a half.
Well, the whole time he's vanished, so like you don't think he's actually there in the fucking interview scene. And then when they're in the airplane, you see the harness and nothing else. And then he hits a power line and fucking it's Brad Pitt. It's just like, okay, that's perfect.
That's how you know they did the Vanisher thing as a joke. Like,
and apparently he never took a penny for payment to fucking have his face pop up in that scene. He was just like, no, it sounded like fun, so I said, let him go. Like,
yeah. The funny thing is that they changed what Vanisher was purely for the joke, because he doesn't have, if you go by the comics, he doesn't have invisibility powers. He's a teleporter.
Mm. So like, yeah, he just one place to the other, not. Yeah.
In fact, it's so on the nose that his like regular person name is Telford Porter. but the funny thing about the X-Force bit, and I have to admit, so that they rent like a C-130 or something, some kind of giant plane, and they're all going to jump out of it and attack Cable like during a prisoner transport or what, or were they were trying to rescue the kid, right? Not yet.
Yeah, they're trying to make sure Cable can't kill Rusty because he's a kid and Deadpool's not for that. So right. He knows that's where, like, all the prisoners from the prison are being transported on this transport truck, basically. Yep. So, like, their plan is to hit that, get Rusty, and get the fuck out before Cable finds them, and it does not work.
Yeah. I have to say, I remember for the couple months before this movie came out, the trailer for this movie was the plane bit. Mm-hmm. Basically, all the dialogue from the bit in the plane. And I remember by the time this came out, I was like, okay, well, this scene better have something interesting in it, because I feel like I've seen this 100 times already.
And we were all speculating, like, they're not going to live, are they?
I didn't think it would be that quick, but I did figure they would all die. And apparently they try to do, like, a parachute jump in a giant windstorm, and they all die.
Well, yeah, like they plan the parachute jump, but Deadpool doesn't actually check the wind or any of the specifics that you need to know. So they all end up blowing into like terrible, horrible death incurring situations.
Vanisher hits like the thing of power lines.
Bedlam goes fucking head first into a bus. Literally Terry Crews' head through the window of a bus just sitting there. Like
Zeitgeist lands in like a wood chipper or something.
Yep. Yeah, and then he vomits on Huggy Bear. Yep. Shatterstar lands in a helicopter propeller.
Yep. And I love that they gave him like the green blood, which I think the comic book character had, because he's not human.
Yep. No, he's from Mojo World.
Which I thought was cool. Just for accuracy's sake, I did think that was a neat, like, no one would know that seeing this movie, really, and they managed to do that. So yeah, there's a whole another action sequence where, like, Cable shows up on the prison transport as Deadpool and Domino are trying to take it over. And that was kind of fun. That was also something that had been in the trailers a bunch.
My favorite line in the movie is in that scene. When fucking Cable, yeah, it tries to shoot some, and he ends up fucking blowing the head off of Black Tom Cassidy. And Deadpool's like, "You shot Black Tom, you racist!" And they bring it back like five times through the movie. And Cable, by the end of it, is like, "I am not racist. Shut up!" Like, he's so sick of it.
Now, the joke, if I remember correctly, was that in the comics he's white.
In the comics he's Irish. Like,
yeah, he's Irish.
White but Irish. And he calls
it's Black Tom, as in like the black sheep of the family. Like, it's an Irish saying.
I couldn't tell though. Was that guy actually black?
No. That's why it's fucking hilarious. Because Deadpool's like, "All right, Black Tom, you're black. Cool."
A couple months ago, when X-Men 97 was coming out, one of those stupid pages that's trying to be all, you know, like hip and woke and getting clicks, apparently did like an AI Google search of every black character in the original X-Men animated series, and they had pictures that included Apocalypse, because what it did was it cross-referenced, you know, Africa, and he's Egyptian, and then they had a fucking screenshot of Black Tom from the animated series, and everybody was just dragging this guy like, "You have Black Tom Cassidy there, buddy."
Yeah, it's like, he's not actually black. That's like black sheep of the family. Like, it's, yeah.
Yeah, that's, yeah.
Because he's Banshee's cousin, and their family is due to inherit a big fucking Irish fucking castle or whatever, right?
Yep.
Like, they're a prominent family, but he's the black sheep. He was shunned from the family. That's why he's always gone by Black Tom. And it's, there's no actual race motivation behind it at all. That's why the whole joke is fucking hilarious to me.
Yep, so there's a whole big thing with Cable, like the whole prison transport, like, flips, which was a pretty cool bit. And that was one of those things where I could tell they had way more money, because I was just like, there's no way the original movie would have even tried this, because they would have been like, we're out of money like a quarter of the way through the sequence, sorry. And then, so they managed to, you know, he fights off Cable long enough, and the kid, you know, he makes an offer to the kid, and he's had his legs blown off or something by this point.
No, Juggernaut.
Juggernaut rips and the
kid
off.
Juggernaut and the kid are teamed up. They get rid of Cable for the time being, and then Juggernaut comes out and fucks up Deadpool.
That's right. Juggernaut rips him in half. That's right. And I love the whole thing I love the whole thing when Rusty is deciding to go with Juggernaut, and Wade's like, "What does he have that I don't? Don't say legs." And the kid was just like, "Legs." Yeah.
Fucking great.
Yeah, the kid was, and that's another thing. Like, we talked about Raina Baccarin being able to hang with him in the first movie. Like, you had to find a child actor that was at least able to kind of keep up with him. And I
think, that matched that energy. Yeah.
Yeah, and I think that kid did a decent job of that. You know. But if he's done movies with Taika, I mean, it's kind of that same, like, complete
just manic energy,
yeah, that complete left field kind of thing that Taika does all the time. So then at that point, the group all reconvenes at Deadpool's home, and they're trying to figure out, you know, he still wants to save the kid, despite, you know, the fact that the kid basically told him to go fuck himself. So then they're trying to make plans, and they're talking about ways to get rid of Cable, because he's a problem, and,
the reason Cable ends up being on the prison transport thing is he kidnaps, Leo Giacinato.
Oh, yeah, yep, okay. Because I just remember that bit where he's, like, he's growing his legs back, and he's sitting on the couch, and he's talking
to Cable, comes in.
TJ Miller, and Cable comes in, and you don't see it at first, and he's saying something, and he goes, or TJ Miller is saying something, and then he goes, "He's standing right behind me, isn't he?" So then eventually he's able to convince Cable to work with him to to stop.
All right, I gotta jump out here, but yeah, I said pretty much all I had to say about the first movie. The third one, I'm kind of worried. It sounds like there's going to be an awful lot of fucking stuff thrown in it. I think instead of like trying to make it the fix for the next fucking phase of Marvel, like fix everything that they fucked up, they should just let it be a Deadpool and Wolverine movie. But it will be what it will be.
I have concerns that it's going to be Iron Man 2 again, and it's going to be loaded with so much shit that it's barely going
to
be.
It just none of it actually has time to actually be anything. Yeah, but. That's my thoughts, and see you all later.
We'll see you in the next one, hopefully. So then there's a whole thing where Cable agrees to give him something like 30 seconds to convince the kid, you know, not to be a dick. And so they have they go back to the orphanage, and there's just a whole sequence of, like, he's in there, and he's trying to kill the main priest as being, like, the most abusive person there. And the guy is a giant dickhole, basically. And then, you know, Domino's there. There's a whole thing where she's trying to get all the other kids out to a bus, and the bus just kind of shows up because she's got the luck thing, and it just kind of, everything in that sequence kind of breaks her way. Colossus fights the Juggernaut, which was hilarious. And the Juggernaut's another, they went the all CGI route this time instead of the Vinnie Jones thing. And I thought it worked much better, but that's just me. I don't know what you guys think.
Honestly, yeah. I would have liked Vinnie Jones to come back.
Yeah, I could see it. I could see a way to do that. But I think it would have worked either way. Vinnie Jones would have been fine, but I do think it was probably a better move just for this one to. I don't know how much.
Of course, they're gonna CGR it like they did. At least give Vinnie Jones voice. You know.
Yeah, that voice was actually done by Ryan Reynolds too, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there's a whole big thing there, and then so they have this whole thing in the prison with like collars that they would make them wear that would shut their powers off, right? So then at one point, you know, Wade starts giving the kid a speech about, you know, shouldn't kill because it's bad, and you know, you don't need to do this or whatever, and the kid's kind of a prick anyway, so it doesn't really work. And then Wade just kind of goes, okay, if you're gonna kill somebody, just kill me instead. So he puts one of the collars on, and Cable goes to shoot him, and he jumps in front of a bullet. So he then has this really long, really drawn-out death speech, which I'm pretty sure the joke was just that it just kept going on and on and on. And then there's a whole thing throughout the movie where Cable has, like, a time machine, obviously, because that's how he gets to this time period to begin with. And it has a limited amount of charges. Like, he has the ability to get to and from once. So he has enough charge in it to go back to where he came from. But rather than do that, he decides to go back slightly and change events so that Deadpool doesn't die. He puts like a, he has the, that skee ball token that he gives Vanessa in the first movie as a gift after their first date and whatnot, and he sticks it right where the bullet's gonna go, and it kind of does like the, I guess it's like the equivalent of a bulletproof vest sort of deal. So he doesn't die, and then the cab driver hits the priest guy with the cab, which I thought was hysterical. And then, you know, this one's sold as more of a, if the first movie is a love story making fun of like all the love story tropes, this one's meant to be like a, they call out that this one's more of a, meant to be like a family movie sort of, where like he's kind of got this weirdly reluctant family. And then we get to the some of the post credit stuff, which I thought was some of the funniest shit in the movie, honestly. Negasonic Teenage Warhead fixes Cable's time machine and gives it to Deadpool, and he just starts doing a bunch of crazy shit. He goes back and redoes the moment of Vanessa's death so that she doesn't die, which is nice because I'm glad that probably means she's going to be in the third one. He goes back to he encounters actual real life Ryan Reynolds and shoots him in the head as he's reading the Green Lantern script, which I thought was, I'm actually kind of surprised DC didn't sue for that, but whatever. It probably would have survived under parody laws, but I did think it was kind of ballsy to do that. And then he goes back to Wolverine Origins and shoots the crappy version of Deadpool in the head. And then I don't remember if this was in the theatrical version or not, but I have a, there's an extended version available on Amazon Video, which is what I have.
Back gets baby Hitler.
Yeah, the Hitler thing. Yeah. He goes back and kills baby Hitler, or at least thinks about it. So yeah, that's our second movie. Again, solid. I would say
he kind of goes visits Hitler, and then he tries to tell him, and he's like, "I just can't do this. I'm gonna go get my friend Cable. He loves murdering children."
Huh. Yeah. So yeah, these are good, solid, little fun movies. Like you guys, I do have concerns about the third one. My main thing is, you know, I want it to be rated R, but I guess I don't. I guess that, as much as I've been crusading for that for the last few years as this movie has been talked about, I'm starting to realize I don't really care about that as much as like I said when Brent was leaving, I'm afraid it's just going to be like an Iron Man 2 type movie where they're just going to be so concerned with the cameos and the setups for whatever else this is supposed to fix that it's not really going to be a movie. It's just going to be a series of those things. And you know,
my thing with Deadpool 3 was never about the rating. I didn't care. Like, I love the fact that it's R-rated, but at the same, they didn't bring up the fact that they did release PG-13 version of Deadpool 2 once upon a Deadpool or whatever it's called.
They did do that.
Yeah, and honestly, I never went and saw that. I think they were like watching just to see what they do with it and how PG-13 Deadpool would actually look like. But at the same time, like, yes, Deadpool deserves an R. Thing with Disney is, I don't think they're gonna do the story right. Thing with Fox stuff, I think Ryan Reynolds did. At least for the first, I think he had like full creative control. I think he kept most of that for me. But like, I don't think he has that with Disney. And the story in first two Deadpools actually worked because it was done as a Deadpool story. I have no faith that Disney is going to follow the story through. That's the problem. I don't care about the rating. It's in fact, the story is probably going to be really, really different from what it did in the first two. And that's my biggest question mark. It's Disney. They haven't been doing things right in a long time, and I don't think they're going to start with Deadpool and Wolverine.
Yeah,
I would love it, but I don't think they will.
Yeah, I would hope they do because Josh, I think you've said on other shows that like this one, you know, given where they are, kind of financially with how some of these movies have been performing, I feel like this one's the last real shot they have to convince people that any of this is still worth a shit.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So, like, other than diehards like me who will go to it regardless, but, I mean, I think this is the last one they have that has any shot of convincing, like, an average audience that they still have any clue what they're doing. And their best option would probably have been, and Milosh, I'm with you. I don't believe they did this either, but I would think their best option would have been just to let Ryan Reynolds, and if he's writing it with those same two guys who wrote the first two, you know, to let them just do whatever they were doing already and just throw Wolverine in the mix somewhere, you know. But do I think that's
what they're just given? Like, worst part is like he can come to them and he like, okay, we're gonna let you keep control, creative control over the product, but this is what we want to see. And you write that back to us and see, let's see what you come up with, because then Disney could get what Disney wants and just still do the Deadpool movie. This way, I don't trust Disney enough in the story. That's the question mark. Right? I'm still gonna see the movie and chances are probably gonna enjoy it. That movie has been really, really bad. I mean, I like it. You know how I do about movies. So I'm generally gonna like to see. So, I mean, question mark is the story gonna be there? Because the story isn't gonna be there. No amount of cameos or, you know, people pleasing what they're gonna do with whatever they throw in this is gonna be worth it. Like, my hope is that Ryan, the rest still held on to some control over what's gonna happen. Even if it's like 15%, like, you could still manipulate story to go in a certain, be a Deadpool story. That's what my hope is. Like, and I hope it's true. I hope that happens. But I don't know. We'll see when the movie comes out.
Stop it, Cat. Stop it. I'm sorry. We have a rug that Corey bought in Morocco that we don't want them to claw the bejesus out of. And sometimes they will start doing it and I have to yell at them. But okay. Anyway. Yeah, I mean, that's kind of my thing too. Like, I question whether, you know, cause the thing I come back to, like, with the dynamics of this more than anything is like, kind of like, and not to put these two characters on the same level, but Ryan Reynolds as Deadpool is the only, and maybe Evans as Captain America, that they're like the only characters I can think of that are so intrinsically tied to this actor. Like, yeah. I could see him going to Disney and being, in a nice way, obviously, because he wants to continue to deal with them for this, but, like, I would hope that Disney at least has enough of a clue to be like, hey, we need this guy for this role. Like, you can't, you know, if we recast this role with somebody else, you've lost the fan base entirely. Like,
it doesn't work.
And I would hope as a result of that, maybe they would give him a little more leeway than they would give some of these other people. But I guess we'll see in July when the thing comes out. You know? And I'm trying to have, you know, some level of optimism. I did think that first trailer was, and I'm not going to talk about it because I know you don't watch those things at all, but I was at least
I saw it. I think I was in the Disney flat phone or sorry somewhere. I did see the trailer.
Yeah. I mean, I was at least, you know,
I mean, I had voice hopes because I like that actor. Is like, I want to love what they're going to put out, but I don't trust them put up. And again, my only hope is that Reynolds did keep some creative control on the story. He actually did a Deadpool story.
You know what I would love? Something,
and as you said, sorry to interrupt you, as you said, like, this could be probably one of the last chances Marvel actually has of showing, like, hey, we can still do the early, we can still put up a good product. We can still do phase one, phase two, phase three level stuff. You know, we're not fresh out of ideas. There's still ideas here. We can still do the story right. Not just throw like $100 million worth of CGI on them and hope they work. It's like, no, you actually need a story. I think Deadpool 1 is like, this is Deadpool podcast. Let's talk there. Like, yeah. Deadpool 1 is a perfect example of story drives everything else. But you were limited on the budget and you actually needed a story. You needed the camaraderie between the characters. Like, that had to be there, and it was, and the movie was brilliant. But you don't throw a lot of money right into the story.
Yeah, no, you're exactly right. I hope they keep the kind of the lower budget sensibilities of the first two movies with this one, because it'll would hopefully generate something interesting. What I was kind of hoping when they said the TVA was going to be involved was that. And it looks like, you know, it looks like from the trailer and stuff that they recruit him for something, right? I was kind of hoping that, like, he would stumble across something that would screw with the timeline or the multiverse in his own way, and then the TVA would have to stop him somehow, and, like, the whole thing was like would be like him and Wolverine against Owen Wilson and Loki, you know, like some kind of like chase movie or rogue movie or something.
Well, here's my fear. My fear is that the fact that they threw TVA in there so that you just throw a whole bunch of variants at different times. That's my fear.
Yeah, and there's ways to do that that can work. I just hope it's not overloaded with it. You know, like there's ways to make that work.
If you bring it, if you TVA in here, so you can throw variant characters in there, that's like you're not gonna get a fan base. They're not gonna be happy. People are not gonna be happy with 100 characters that you throw at them. You know.
Yeah, I think it depends on how much of the movie is driven by that. And, you know, there's ways to make it work. There's ways to make it work, but I think you're right to be concerned about what that might actually be. So we'll obviously talk about that in July, or maybe early August when that... I think it comes out at the very tail end of July. So... maybe we'll wait until after I come back from the Trek convention this year to do that one. Because I probably see it right away. So we could do it before I left, maybe. But we'll have to see what the calendar looks like in at that time. But yeah, so this was a fun one.
I honestly have no idea where I'm going to be at the time.
You think we could attempt Frozen Empire?
We're going to blow the place.
You think we could attempt Ghostbusters next week if Justin has seen it by then?
Wednesday or Thursday, yeah.
Yeah, I could do that. So we'll talk to him depending on whether he actually goes this weekend or not. So, All right, guys. This was fun. I'll get this posted. So, all right. I'm going to go have dinner, I think. Because it's getting to be 7 o'clock here. So let me just stop this.